Today I'm going to talk about failure. I'm going to talk about Zazen and failure. Are we ready? Yeah, good. First, a few words about Zazen. Our practice extends. Are we ready?
Yeah, sorry.
Our practice extends beyond Zazen, beyond sitting down. There's no end to practice. We talk about this a lot here. Sitting down, however, establishes a root, a place, a presence. And the practice of Zazen, however, starts with our first thought about Zazen, our first movement towards sitting down and being present. We experience this as a desire. And how we experience this and how we respond to this desire is crucial. So the first thing to know is this desire is a desire. It's a want, a yearning, and it should be honored, listened to, respected. In our practice, our effort is not to eliminate desires. It is to align with our deepest desire and live it out. So it's not about removing ourselves from this world to some other world. Quite the opposite. It's about entering. And this deep desire is not just about addressing our own suffering, as if we were somehow separate, different, carved away from the rest of the world. It is about finding our way with others in our own unique, connected life. So the question becomes, what do we do with this desire? Sometimes we push it away because it is inconvenient. We don't have time. We're not wearing the right clothes or have the proper cushion, the right space, the right body, the right mind or heart. Or sometimes we ignore it because we imagine it requires too much of us. It requires we face what is real and deal with it. So those are some of the options when we feel this longing. Or are we willing to sit down and engage with our lives as they are? This is a very important question. Are we willing to sit down and engage with our lives as they are? We do not wait for a perfect time, a perfect body, a perfect mind, a perfect heart, a perfect community. We are humans, imperfect, inadequate, always walking and falling. So this is not a problem for our practice. It is a fact. It's just a fact. And if we face it, we are not limited by it. Eiken Roshi once wrote, "Distractions and obstacles in Zazen are just negative terms for your context and circumstances." Distractions and obstacles in Zazen are just negative terms for your context and circumstances. They appear everywhere. we do not attempt to define away the very real obstacles that exist in our lives as if they were not real or do not matter. Physical limitations, emotional pain, societal ills. We grow in our response to them. So we're not eliminating these circumstances. As we come to know this, we come to know that the particular reality of our lives is a path of realization, if we let it be that. Engaging with our lives as they are drives us deeper and compels us to drop our limited ideas and grow broader, come to know ourselves as not bound by our ideas. This is a kind of spiritual composting. It builds a rich and nourishing base for our practice. It grows in us a deeper, more wise understanding of practice and how we are in the world. Engaging in this way is practice, and there's no end to it. It's not like we get it all together at some point and we never have to face these things. So in our Zazen practice, in our life, we situate ourselves with steadiness, kindness, and draw on and cultivate courage and energy. This energy is not ego-driven, aggressive energy, but the energy that flows naturally and strongly from our lives when we stay close to what is most true for us. This is virya, one of the six perfections, sometimes called zeal, vigor, effort. It is strong, steady, tenacious, flexible, and unstoppable. Not because it forces things to be a particular way, but because it is not tied to or bound by any one circumstance and calls forth a way of being that transforms us and our world. With this spirit, we make friends with who we are. We look carefully at our lives and see what works, what is possible, what is a good, strong challenge, a way to move beyond what we think. Without being bound by a false idea that we will somehow become a perfect being, these notions are just more stories concocted from our limited views. So this attitude, this movement, is the start of Zazen. It's not a precursor. It's the start. Like Zazen, when you sit in the Zendo, Zazen starts when you get in your car. Zazen starts when you imagine coming here. This movement is what steadies us and orients us. We make it concrete and we make it ordinary. We ask, what is my body like? What places and times can I find to sit Zazen? If I cannot imagine time to sit Zazen, even for 10 minutes, how do I express the spirit of Zen in other ways in my life? And I think we can also ask, is it true I don't have 10 minutes? Not even 10 minutes out of 24 hours. Recognizing the gift of community, how can we join in the Sangha in Zazen and or in other ways? Sewing together, singing together, walking together. On the way to the Zendo, how do I drive? How do I treat my shoes when I take them off in the Gaitan? How do I walk in the Zendo? How do I approach my cushion? This is not a rigid practice. It is a caring that expresses itself in attention and ease. attention in these. Xinqiu just gave some really wonderful talks on Gassho, and this is the spirit that she's been talking about. So our effort is to allow who we are to be, not with laziness, not with entitlement, not with corrosive views, but with an open and settled view that has generosity and energy behind it. Then we find dedication. We find the capacity to reveal ourselves to ourselves in the deepest possible way. So, we can ask ourselves, are we willing to approach Zazen with the mind and body and circumstances that we have and are? Are we willing to do that? If we are, when we are, we immediately run smack dab into resistance, distraction, and failure. There you go. To sit Zazen is to come face to face with ourselves. And the fact that ourselves, what we do, is we make up what we think success is. And then we chase it. And when we do not succeed, because from the start, what we make up is a delusive process, we think we have failed. And you know what? We have failed. The we that we think we are has utterly failed in its attempt to manage a process in which its primacy is undone. Right? We make these ideas up about what Zazen is, then we chase them. And then when we can't, you know, it's like the carrot and the stick, you know, then when we can't meet that elusive goal, we fail. That's the good news. When we fail, when I was thinking about this, the phrase that came to me was that song, you know, pick yourself up, dust yourselves off, and start all over again, right? So we do this again and again, chasing, an ever-receding, deluded goal concocted by a self that's out of whack. Continuing in this way, we will inevitably fail over and over. Again, that's a good thing. It is good because it compels us, if we are willing, to stop chasing and go another way. And there is another way. But that other way requires a radical shift in who we think we are and what we think we're doing. This is where a very real sense of trust and tenacity comes in. Sometimes we succeed. Sometimes we succeed in stopping thoughts, right? And then we fail again because then we think we mistake that stopping for liberation. Oh, I've succeeded. I have succeeded. And we go, ooh, off. So in all of this, we discover this other way. We discover the tenacity and trust. Not that everything will turn out the way we hope, but a sense of trust to take a step on a path in which we are willing to have what we think we know challenged, willing to be transformed. Again, this requires virya, spiritual courage. It means following a path that emerges as we take each step. And interestingly, each step is both completely new and well trod by many before us and with us. As we follow this path in Zazen, we can shed our limited notions and come to know the whole of our lives, who and how we are, the whole of it. One way to think of who we are, how we are, is like the ocean. Storms and waves can be raging on the surface, and deep below, the ocean is profoundly still. So we sit in Zazen. It's chaos in there sometimes. And yet, at the very same time, there's utter stillness. These are not two oceans. They are the same. They and all the layers have a place in the functioning whole. One is not better than the other. They are all aspects of ocean. To judge one aspect is to deny the wholeness of the ocean. To cling to an idea that one aspect has nothing to do with the reality of the ocean obscures the reality of the ocean, right? So, if we focus on the surface, we become so used to trying to negotiate the waves that we are not even aware of the depths. We skid around on the surface, desperately trying to manage the waves and make them still. Our lives are then run by that effort. This is not virya. It's an impossible effort. Waves will do what waves do. And our failure to make them into something else is accurate. And again, what if we succeed in making our minds perfectly still? Because sometimes we can succeed, or sometimes it simply occurs when we have deep concentration or practice. Sometimes it happens. But again, we can make the fatal error of mistaking a limited success or momentary stillness for the liberation that comes from realizing the whole. This is a detour, and it just leads to more exhausting fight with life. It's like playing whack-a-mole, you know? Wave comes, wave comes. It's like thinking we're the sovereign of the ocean. So we miss the opportunity to realize a fuller realization of the truth of ocean. So if we do the work of coming to know the whole of the ocean, which is revealed in all its aspects, stillness is completely apparent, not defined or erased by what the waves are up to, right? As we sit, we become intimate with ocean. Stillness is abstract until we become it. And becoming it does not deny the waves or anything else. We may feel anxious. We may feel fearful of what is unfamiliar or dark, but that's part of it too. And in the inclusion of what we find, not only the stillness, we find not only the stillness that exists, we can also taste a way of being that undoes the deluded efforts that cause us and others to suffer. So we start where we are, as we are. There's no place else to go. There's no better place than this. Our effort is to entrust ourselves to this practice, to this moment, with nothing left behind. That includes our doubts, our fears, our insecurities, our anger, our pain, our hopes, our aspirations for ourselves and the world we live in. When we have difficulty, we talk to our teachers. We feel the support of our Sangha mates. We join with the others that have gone before. The body breathes. The mind secretes thoughts. The heart feels. The stomach rumbles. Sometimes knees hurt. Heart aches. We're undone by grief or despair. Or we're infused with joy. It's all included. Nothing to deny. Somebody sent me an article that was in the Buddha Dharma or someplace recently, describing Kensho experiences. You know, these opening experiences. Very nice article about these experiences. It describes, you know, this process by which an experience like that pokes a hole in the wall. You know, you can kind of see a little bit. It's a good thing. But if you're the wall, there's no need to poke any holes in anything. You're already at the wall. You're what's on one side of the wall. You're what's on the other side of the wall. Why poke holes? And yet. As for the self we usually experience ourselves to be, there's nothing wrong with becoming a good sailor. It would get you safely from one place to another. But a good sailor reads the ocean, is humbled by it, works in concert with it. A good sailor knows the boat, the sailor, the ocean, the sky, the earth, the wind, everything together is a whole undivided activity. So in Zazen, over and over again, we shift the effort of our practice from trying to manage, trying to be someone or something else, to realizing that who we are is this. Realizing that in the deepest possible sense. We become intimate with failure. We welcome it. We embrace it. We do not fight with reality. We understand that when our deluded efforts are shown for what they are, we have a great opportunity to see something more, to become something more than we think we are. A very wise friend and fellow Zen teacher, Steve Weintraub, said once, "Failure Zen is unobstructed." I've said this before. Failure Zen is unobstructed. So what can obstruct a way that includes it all? What can be obstructed? So we investigate this, and with this spirit, we can sit strongly, we can participate with others, and we can have the kind of vigor that is with compassion, not separate from it. And these are all ways of talking that need to be made concrete. Notice in your life the desire to follow a path of practice. Notice how you respond to it. Deny it, maybe. long for it but stay too busy to follow it. Take time to reflect on your life and how the path of Zazen can take shape in it. Be willing to challenge your notions of what that means. Don't be wimpy. Don't be harsh. Make this effort and practice concrete and specific ways to enact it. And be willing to fail over and over and over again.